At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody, or wherever you are in the world. Welcome to my friend Red, who is on the channel for the first time talking about Charlie Kirk. His channel link is in the description box if you want to subscribe. He's been doing a lot of work on this case, and I will let him get into it for you. We're going to take a deep dive. Huge thank you for coming on, man. What got you interested in this?
Well, kind of like other things back in the past, essentially when they said it was shot with a 30-06 from the front, and this is the funny thing, everyone said two things. One, when he shot from the front, it blast his neck out from the back. And the wound, they all said, well, it looks like an exit wound. So everyone's saying this, but nobody's doing anything about it. Nobody's, you know, saying, well, what could possibly be? So essentially, they're looking at the reports like a radiologist would, or like a doctor from a radiologist versus looking at the film, like the movie The Fugitive. Look at the film. Look at the film. And nobody was saying this, any of these things. So I decided, and like I was telling you right before, I said, you know, I was done with all this. You know, I was done with political stuff. I was done with sleuthing, done with doing, you know, any of this stuff. And I was going to hang it up. I don't know where my Instant Pot is. You know, I mean, I moved fairly recently, but nobody was saying anything. So I said, okay, I've got to get this information out there. That's when I first put the video out. It was just me in the garage, basically in one take, laying out the case. And then I decided I had to go back and put video clip. I wanted to put a lot more, but in the interest of time, I wanted to put the video clips in there so people would see what I'm talking about, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. So that's where it started. And it got to the first thing was really early on. They said it was a 30-06. They said it was a Mauser M98, all right, 30-06. Now, this is the video I made that I didn't release, because most of the pertinent information was in the main video that's now on my new channel. But I started looking into it, and the M98, Mauser 98, is in 1898 when they first started making them in Germany. All right, they made them from 1898 to 1918 when the end of World War I happened. German surrendered Treaty of Versailles, and all that led to World War II. And they used another one called the K-98, K for carabiner. Hitler had a redesign. It was shorter and a little bit more modern. But the first thing I thought of was Royale with cheese. Why would Germany, especially 100 years ago, Germany be using an imperial measurement, a 0.30-inch 30, and then aught is aught 6. I'm sure most people know this by now. Springfield cartridge designed in 1906. And so 30 aught 6. Why would the Germans be using a 30 caliber, especially because they said it was a World War I? Now, that was kind of key. Now, maybe they're mistaken on that, but let's just go with that for a second. World War I, 1914 to 1918. All right. I look back and they didn't make a 30-06. So right there, the argument shot. All right, they used a 7.92, the 8mm Mauser is what they called it. And until 1935, which I think was a Polish knockoff, which is where the K comes from, the K98 Mauser design finally was chambered in other rounds, but they used that single chamber. So right there, okay, if it was a World War I 30-06 Mauser M98, that didn't exist, it never existed, they never made it. No one said that. No gun channel, no crime channel. Nobody's mentioned that fact, which surprised me even till then, because like I said, this was 3, maybe 4 weeks ago. And the second part to that was likely Tyler Robinson would have used his granddad's gun to, in order to do this, because it had no serial number, ergo no way to trace it back to him. Well, I said, when did Mauser start putting serial numbers on their M98 rifle? And Germans being Germans, as the war has taught us, they're very organized people. And it turns out that from the very beginning in 1898, in the 19th century, is when Mauser started putting serial numbers on all of their guns, all of their M98s. So all M98s have serial numbers. So that argument is out the window. So then there's the factor of age. All right, if Tyler Robinson's 22, his dad's probably, you know, our age, Gen X, right? Mid-70s, so about 50 years old, right? So that means his granddad, whose gun it was, right? And we don't know the story behind this gun. The granddad whose gun it was would have been a Vietnam-era vet, right? I mean, generally speaking, 5, 10, maybe even 15 years, because back then people had big families and started young. I had a friend who I went to high school with, and he was the last of 11 kids, and his nephew was older than him. You know, so it happens. But if you extrapolate that back, that would have meant the greatest generation, his great-grandfather would have been a World War II vet. And then assuming it goes far enough back there, all right, say his grandpa was born in 1925, right? He would have been 18 around the time D-Day happened. Okay, now say if you go 20 years back where you're talking 1905, well, we got in 1917, the Americans. So he wouldn't have been old enough. So let's just go back to 1900. So he would have been 17 when he entered the military. And I think even back then you had to have your parents' permission, right? So it would have been his great, great, great grandfather, assuming that's where he got this gun to begin with. And if he didn't get it from there, why was it an heirloom? And if it was an heirloom, why would you put an old barrel of a gun on a brand new synthetic stock? And I said in my other video, it's like taking a 57 Chevy Bel Air where they got the nice tail fins there and putting a spoiler on it. It's stupid. So, and they get, okay, well, why is it an heirloom? What's the story? Was he overseas? Did he fight in the war? Was he a desk jockey? So where did this gun come from? But the main point is that it's a Mauser 30-06 from World War I. It's impossible. And they all had serial numbers. So that's what I started my first video at. But then Range Day Bro came out with his Marine friend. And once I saw that close-up in that video where he initially said there was blood spurt or hair, which ended up being the chain, I said that right there, because it reminded me of the Kennedy assassination, which is what I go into my video. Now, I understand my video's long, I ramble, but all that information, if you look at the Kennedy assassination, you see where he gets the head hit and the explosion out the front, the back and to the left, which I want to add an addendum to that here. That I didn't say on that video was there's another video, and I have to find it, where it was kind of the same thing. It was like a BBC or a Boston Globe kind of professional news organization doing this. And one of the guys said when he got hit in the head, it basically stimulated all of his nerves, and the back muscles are stronger than the stomach muscles. So I'm going to say that the back and to the left is not a completely 100% by that shot coming out, but it is the skull is pressurized and it coming out. So I said, it's very similar to that. You can see the direction that his head gets smacked. So I took that and took that to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And I said, look at it. You know, I took the dummy Bob and I smacked him on the head. You saw, and it's clear as day to me where he gets hit. And the funny thing is that all these guys that are saying, you know, oh, it looks like an exit wound. And again, no animosity to any of these guys, because, you know, we're just disagreeing is what we do in order to get to the consensus. And the consensus essentially is we solve the crime. So you know, these guys are saying Chris, excuse me, Matheson Martinson from Peak Prosperity. He did all this work with angles and geometry and hypotenuse and protractors and such. And he said, in order for it to come in from the front, you'd have to have 12,000 pounds of pressure to divert 30 degrees to go down. Well, like I said, never say never, but the chances of me being the starting center for the LA Lakers, all right, you know, isn't probably not, it's possible, but it's very unlikely. So, and you know, Valhalla, I think VFT, shot a cattle neck, it obliterated it, but yet none of these guys have actually tried to replicate the shot as they say it, which that'd be the first thing I'd do. Now, I just moved You know, I don't have money to do. I don't have a channel. Like, you know, my video is not monetized, and I did that on purpose. One, because I released it on my political channel, so that's why now I got on this. But I just need this information out there. I don't care or need to make money off it. I need this information out there, and hopefully eventually can get some resources, team up with some people to, you know, I've got, say, access to the firearm that they say and the firearm that I think probably did it. I got access to a space to do it. I could probably get the ballistic, but I don't have a high-speed camera. You know, I don't have, you know, a lot of this stuff. So hopefully we can get together and collaborate, because when Range Day Bro did his test, he seems to think it was here. And that's why it didn't go the way he wanted it to. So hopefully he sees this. And if he's going to do the test, try right here, right above the ear where you initially hypothesized, because then that starts the cavitation and everything else you see. But that was what I said, is that every single scenario that said, well, this doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and this doesn't work. Okay, that's great. So then what does work? So let's work backwards from what we see. And if you go by what I say, pretty much every anomaly that happens works with what happens when you're shot in this particular way with this particular round at this particular distance. So I know that's a lot to throw at you, but I'm sure you got questions, and I'd love to answer them.
No, we love long answers on this channel. So lay down your theory for my viewers who have not seen any of your videos so far.
Okay. And again, visuals, I'm going to try to look at the camera. Visuals help a lot, but essentially, now the thing I'm least, and we can get into that later, because that's really what I want to address here, is where I think the shot came from his right. Because if you really look at it, where are the least amount of pictures and video from this entire bowl? That area right there. Now, I don't know if they're being shadow banned. Wouldn't surprise me, because once you start getting closer, you know, that's when they start taking things out. But my theory is that whether Range Day Bro is correct, and I think he might really honestly be onto something. Because where I think it also might have came from, where the door, the little little archway, which means somebody had to have special access, which we'll discuss later. But if he's correct, it's between the two buildings, and he can get a 20-degree angle, which I can get in a test. If he can't, like I said, I don't know where he lives, but let's work together. It's completely plausible and feasible if you hit here. So what I think happened was, and if you listen to my video, you can see the difference between a 30-06, which is a big cartridge and a big, big bullet, okay? It goes on average about 3,100 feet per second. I think that because, and I know you and I discussed this back in the day, that the mob used to use 22s because it's a small bullet. It rattles around in the brain and had a nickname. Maybe you remember, like the scrambler, the brain scrambler. And it wouldn't exit, so you wouldn't leave a bunch of blood so you could, you know, destroy your target. And the ballistics, all right, the bullet itself would basically get shattered to the point where it's you can't trace it back with the striations. Okay, so my theory is that it is a lighter bullet, faster, because in my video I talk about force equals mother in MA, force equals mass times acceleration. And it's a fast bullet, all right, with a little bit of weight, compared to a 30-06, a smaller, probably about one-third the size, which a 22-250 fits the mark perfectly, 4,000 feet per second versus 3,100 feet per second on a 50-grain versus 150-grain bullet. So the bullet's got enough energy to enter the skull, but it's like a smaller, like a 22, rattles around, unlike JFK, which is bigger and it blows out. But that energy's got to go somewhere. If you notice, the cavitation starts from the right side. You can see from Chris Martinson that it starts from the right side, cavitates out, goes this direction, because force goes just like snow on a shovel. All right, it's got to take all that tissue, move it somewhere, or the energy's got to go somewhere. And you've got a big hole right there in the middle of your head. That's got another tube called your trachea, another tube called your esophagus, a lot of space for that energy to blow out, down, causing the cavitation. And my theory is that it stayed in him, and the cavitation is what causes. Now, and this is another thing, I can't find this video anywhere. There's a real nice slow, nice, like a real good slow-mo video where you can kind of see his neck bulge out like a goiter, like a handball, not as big as a basketball. And it kind of pops and goes like this. And my theory is that's what leaves. It's a tear. Like when you go like this in a pool, you tear the water and form the bubbles. And because it was a through and through from my very rudimentary angle, just literally holding a protractor to my phone and then going out to punching Bob, taking a stick, taping to where I thought it would have to be at a 31 degree angle in order to go straight through to hit here and to then land in the ground. Because when Rage Day Bro did his at the 17 degree angle, that bullet you can see hit, and it hit far enough away where if it was Charlie, there was people standing there. And now I'm trying to run in circles. I got a million thoughts. I'm trying to pace in here. But if it went straight through, it would be in the ground. And I say, somebody get a metal detector and just go around that 6, 10, 20-foot area, see if you find anything. But my guess is not, because to me it looks like a tear. But if you've got the energy to get into the skull but not out of the skull, all the energy's got to go down 4,000 feet per second. It's carrying a lot of energy. But that's where you see the cavitation come from. That's where you get the tear in the neck, and there's no arterial spray. Well, then what was all that blood? Well, when it blasts down into here, you've got all this destroyed tissue, and I know that somebody said that a report said that the heart was basically just obliterated. All right, all that tissue is obliterated. So all that, so the reason I went through the pistol shrimp and the JFK and then the cavitation, the high hydrostatic shock coming back, when the hydrostatic shock comes back, you'll notice, you'll see this flash of light right when it comes back. All right, that flash of light, if you watch the pistol shrimp, that flash, that surface area coming together becomes very, very, very momentarily, but becomes the temperature of the sun. And so the gel obviously can't go like this and then back, but the energy does. So, you know, it comes out and it goes back, and then you see another little cavitation, and it comes back kind of like a, if you drop a penny or a quarter, it goes same principle. It just kind of keeps going like that. But the second, and you'll see the hydrostatic shock energy come back, but after it comes back in on itself, it's too small to see with the naked eye. But that collapse causes more damage to his tissue, and all that cavitation, when it finally comes to settle on the backstroke, that's when you see the blood coming out, and it's a dark color blood, but it's not arterial spray, because first off, it'd be spraying, he'd have bled out, and all these guys would have blood all over them. And what's one of the things everyone says? Well, security guys didn't do anything. There wasn't any blood on there. Well, if you're bleeding internally and it's just a one squirt out, you're not going to have blood everywhere. You're just going to have blood coming out where that wound is. So again, that explains that. So basically, my theory can explain pretty much anything that people are, well, how did this happen? So, and his security guards, I know they've been really on this. And I try to stay away from, Erica hugged J.D. Vance. It's just all speculation. So if I focus on the shot and can prove that the shot isn't what they say it is, then everything else from there cascading down in their case is complete garbage. And another thing they say, well, you're just helping the real shooter get away. Well, if the prosecution's case is that weak, then they deserve to lose, because then you're actually putting an innocent guy in prison. And we all know that that's a very bad thing to have happen. So I could just ramble, but is there any specific questions you have from what I've said so far?
Well, you already answered the question about the blood. Mm-hmm. Where was the blood? Blood goes everywhere. You're saying it's an internal wound, so you just had that one.
Mm-hmm. So it'll still peter out, but it's not going to be an arterial spray. Plus, if it was arterial spray, they would have never gotten a pulse, because he would have bled out. Assuming they even got a pulse, but if his heart tissue was destroyed, so again, who are you going to believe? So I just want to throw that in there.
All right. So next, for your viewers, if you've got any questions, we're live right now, so please put them in the chat. We've got over 1,000 watching. And we've got a question here. Do you think there was more than one hitman?
Nope. I do not. There wasn't any need to be. Quite honestly, same thing with Kennedy. There didn't need to be more than one. Not saying there wasn't more than one. And one of my things I said in the video was like, do you ever kind of wonder why they didn't show him taking the shot and then running? If anything, to me, he's up there, he's getting ready, and he sees, whoa, what the, dude, they're going to look at me. Because if somebody else got him, he's up there with a gun. He's, oh, because what if he was told, just go like you're doing it, or scare him or shoot him in the leg? He's not a politician, so you don't have that modifier if you're trying to do somebody harm in a political hit like that. But what my guess is that he was up there for some reason, But if he was up there and he got lined up, somebody took that shot and he went, oh my God, somebody got to him beforehand. Because like I said, I would have left, I would have stayed up there, gone like this, just raised my hands and be like, look, dude, I was just going to shoot him in the leg. I swear to God, I was just going to scare him. I was just going to, because now he's dead and you're sitting up there with the gun. Now, granted, you'd say to yourself, well, okay, I didn't shoot and, you know, the bullet's obviously not going to come back to me. But like another thing with the bullet supposedly lodging in his T1, my guess is they're going to come back and say, well, we just really couldn't identify the bullet because now they have it out. In the report, the where they charged him, the charge report, as far as I know, they used a 30-06 semi-automatic rifle. They didn't say Mauser M98. They didn't say anything, but I think they said the caliber. Now, if they said the caliber and they're charging with it, well, maybe they just got stuck. Honestly, to me, it almost sounds like, you know, some nepo baby like the department who does all this, you know, black ops stuff. He gave a job to his nephew and said, you know, go get this gun out of the storage closet and put it over here behind this park. And, you know, dumbass nephew goes, oh, this one? So now they're all, you know, spinning their wheels trying to figure out how are we going to make this 30-06 work because, you know, so-and-so's dumbass nephew grabbed the wrong firearm. But when it comes to the two shooters in your original question, I don't think so because there doesn't need to be. To me, this is a professional hit. Range Day Bro, it just happened to pop up the other day on a short. And I was like, well, that's a funky looking gun. So basically, it's like a shotgun with a handle. And it's got this barrel that you screw the silencer on. Well, if you watch my video, it shows The Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis, where it turns out, you know, she used to be a spy. It's got Amnesia, great movie. Puts together that sniper rifle. Well, something like this, if you know you're going to be close range, all right, this thing has a maximum effective range of 165 yards. Well, if my range of Bro's theory is correct, that's about 56 yards or so from where. So well within the working parameters, you don't need a sniper rifle, especially if it's something like a 22 250. But and these guys can make, you know, they've got thermals, they've got infrared, they could probably put microwaves on scopes now. Because if these guys, which I think they are professional assassins, they've got everything in the world. And people like Bahal and who's the other guy? Paramount. Like there are former SEALs and Green Berets, like, you know, start looking into this and, you know, with your contacts, do you see anybody that you know? So.
All right. You've got quite a few questions coming in and just sure. to summarize some of the questions, you got a few people asking about Tyler's role in this. Do you think Tyler did it? Do you think Tyler got a shot off? Let me just try and summarize what I think your theory is. Your theory is that Tyler was the patsy. He was on the scene, but the shot was from the hitman first, and Tyler didn't even get a shot off. Is that correct?
Assuming that's actually even Tyler up there on that roof. Now, there's a bunch of people that posted things that they've got lookalikes and stuff. So again, assuming that is him, we'll say for the sake of argument that, yeah, it, that is the case. Now, again, you got George Zinn, decoy. You got all these people that look like, dress like Tyler Robinson, decoy. I mean, it's just like a magician act, you know. While you know, showing the shiny object, the magic's happening down here, you know. So I think that was part of it. But the thing that gets me about Tyler Robinson is you now have the family hiring the Menendez brothers attorneys. You don't do that if you can. What I think might have happened was somehow, and that's another question I have with the gun, because maybe you know the answer to this. Is the gun that they showed in that box with the synthetic stock and the older barrel, is that what the gun that they say it was used in the crime, or is that just a stock picture?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's say it is the gun, right? Now, again, if it's his dad's gun and his grandpa's gun, he'd say, and he said, where's your father's gun? Give me a picture of your father's gun. And he couldn't. So that's a very then rare gun. It would be something specific. But I think that this all happened before that picture came out or was really widely circulated in order to then get his law enforcement friend to then come and get Tyler to surrender instead of self-deleting. Because, you know, if you're going to self-delete over this, you probably just do it. But if he's thinking, I'm the patsy, you know, and I'm sure the cops said this to him, well, just turn yourself in and this will all be sorted out. It might take a couple of days. Well, as you know, anybody goes into lockup, you're cut off from the world. You talk through your lawyers or through the media or through anything else. So we're probably not getting the whole story and they're probably keeping their mouth shut. But it would make sense to me that his dad's friend convinced him, in on it or not, to say, hey, let the wheels adjust a turn. You'll be proven innocent because, you know, you didn't do this. But just like with certain other cases, they've got fingerprints and DNA on the gun. But the real trick is going to be saying that that gun, a 30-06, killed him from the front. So if that answers your question adequately.
Yeah, you got a few people in the chat saying that it was a stock picture of the gun. And you've got a few people asking, Red, where do you think the position of the hitman was?
Well, let me just the gun thing real quick. Because if that wasn't the picture of the gun, how would his dad know that that looked like Tyler's gun? Hey, there's a stock picture, this synthetic stock with an old barrel in a box, which to me looks like an evidence box. And unfortunately, I know some people that have had to go through that, so I know what those look like. But that if that wasn't it, well, then what picture was he looking at to then say, hey, where's your grandpa's gun? Nobody's ever brought that up to my knowledge. Right. So right there, that kind of sticks. Well, okay, then how did he find out? And then his sheriff buddy, law enforcement buddy comes in. But this is where I really hope to get this information out there to help people. Please send me any video and footage you've got before, during, after, right over there. Because this, my theory is that if it didn't come from between the, which could, and quite honestly, if it tests out with being shot here with a .22-250 and everything I say happens, or at least close to happens, that's fine if it was there. But I say in my video about Roxanne Towner Watkins, former colonel in the Army, she talked about how the CIA recruited colleges, okay, and Andrew Bustamante, essentially they take psycho people, like the actual definition, not like, oh, psycho, but psychopathic people who have the detached empathy with, you know, and also apparently in Utah, the Mormons, they're required to learn another language and they do missionary work, which is exactly the whole plot of Book of Mormon from the South Park guys. They go to Uganda to try and convert people. Well, and you speak another language. So the CIA, basically, you get a skill set after college that the CIA drools over, right? So you got that aspect of it. You go back to the JFK, like I said, you know, it came from the school book depository, which is a state-run thing, state school book depository, or right back here, the prison. Well, if you're a guard, you're just as a guard. You've got the badge. The warden doesn't even need to know. You just send it. Oh, I'm the new guy. We're special stuff for the president. No one needs to know. So if you've got a hotel key, that card that you had, all right, for room 306 the other day was used by, you know, Bill Smith at room 107, because all they do is they take the card. Even back in the 90s when I was in college, my ID could swipe to take food, you know, to buy food. It just deducts it from your whatever you put in there. Or it gave me access to a computer lab so I could work on music. This is back before a Mac G4, all right? So they got the ability to work, and I could be 10 o'clock at night. I swipe my card. I get into the lab because I was a music student. So they got the technology where all they have to do is give access to whoever it is, deny access to any of the other faculty and staff who just might happen to be there that day. Somebody walks in, goes below a window line, or goes behind something, somebody else, and just like the movie Lucky Number 7, Josh Hartman, which I show that scene, all you got to do is, and that's it. Right out the door, door closes. So that's why I really like to see if there's doors there that can, or like some sort of hallway or in cove that somebody could hide. Because if it's not between the, first off, it's between the buildings. There's going to be footage of somebody going between those. Well, supposedly, I guess the cameras aren't going to work that day, just with the same with that room, that building that no one was allowed at, except for faculty and staff. Nobody, I heard that once, maybe twice. Nobody brought that up as a possibility. It's like, wait a minute, if only certain people are allowed here, that means you grant access to somebody that only has access, deny access to everybody else. You don't even go that far. You just got to hope that nobody walks into that spot. So if it's right there by that door, not the bush, but by the bush, and there's another, looks like an access door of sorts, right there on the side of the building, almost level with where Range Day Bro sits in between the buildings. So that's what I need to find out, because first off, we need, if we can run a test to get a at least a bust, if not a full chest, and shoot right here with a 22-250. All right, my theory again, it's going to be a smaller bullet with a faster velocity to transfer the energy down. Then pretty much we've got everything nailed, and then we can start pinpointing where it possibly came from. But that's my theory. I'll bet my life on this. I'll bet Mr. Willie being chopped off that it came from the right. Because everything you see, the head going down, the expansion, the blowing out of the neck, everything came from this direction. Boom, back up. And then he fell over. Which direction? Oh, the direction that the bullet came from. So it's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. We're not forming Voltron here. Just look with your eyes and you'll see everything you need to know.
So you said, you know, people can contact you if they've got more information. How are they supposed to do that?
So Red's Random. So Red, I literally just made this channel because I can't put it on my political channel. I took that off. So Red's Random is at gmail.com. Red's Random Ruminations, I'm going to have the website. And basically, as far as I know, Red's Random is now on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, and Snapchat. I don't really use three of those, but I guess I'm going to have to. But if you just want to do Reds, and RANDUMB for...
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
All right. Well, send me the links to them when we finish, and I'll put them in the description box. I'm going to keep going with the questions.
Sure. I love it. Let's do it.
All right. So let me see. Nadine is saying, did they match the bullet with Tyler's gun? And Truth X is saying, did they test Tyler for gunpowder residue?
That I'm not sure. I don't think they did test him, but it was also 36 hours later, so he could easily washed it off. Plus, if you're wearing gloves, then that becomes a moot point. What was the first question?
Did they match the bullet with Tyler's gun?
As far as I know, no. And that's going to be the crux of it, because if somehow it is indeed a 30-06 bullet in here, then they've got a lot of explaining to do, because the laws of physics, the defense is going to bring in every sort of expert to say, this is, matter of fact, they'll probably do demonstrations. They'll bring the entire jury to arrange and do demonstrations for them to see exactly how ludicrous this theory is. Again, it's possible, but you know, use your eyes. Any hunter, that's why this whole thing blew up, because if they would have not said that and just said, well, it was this, the only we found the gun and ended it. But I don't, as far as I know, they didn't. My guess is they're going to come back and say the bullet was so battered up that we can't get any ballistics off. Wow. Lucky them, just like Shawshank. Well, I find it decidedly inconvenient. But no, they haven't matched it. I don't think they're ever going to match it. My guess is that it probably is going to be like a 22, because if you look at my theory, comes in, whether it's the angle itself or whether the skull alters the trajectory, and somebody had posed the theory about being in the ear or down here, but then you'd see the wound. So pretty much had to be in here. And if the bullet goes like this, alters the trajectory a little bit, boom, 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 perfectly runs through C2 to C6, which got destroyed, and would land right here under the skin at T1. And as I say in my video, the two deer that I show the bullets for landed 161 yards away and 40 yards away, and they both wound up on the other side by the shoulder under the skin. So that would be another reason why my guess is that it's a
right. Okay. Have you been watching Candace Owens on this? And if so, how does your theory tie in with what Candace is saying?
Well, which part of what Candace is saying? Because again, I don't really get into the, you know, maybe Israel did it, maybe Erica Kirk, maybe, you know, but what specifically are you referring to?
Have you been watching her broadcasts?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But depending, because she's changed a bit, but there are many aspects to that. So which one in particular? Do you have a specific one?
I don't have a specific one in mind. I'm just wondering if your theory runs parallel with what she's saying.
I don't think so. The one that I do remember, she said it definitely was a 30-06. And I went, okay. So right there, I disagree with her. And again, no, we're just disagreeing, no animosity. You know, some people go, but we're just disagreeing. I don't think so. Because again, if it had to be, if it was a 30-06 and it came in from the, even if it was a 30-06 from any direction, I mean, you would have seen such massive wounding and you would have seen a pass through. I mean, there's no other, and they're trying to, well, maybe it was an old cartridge and, you know, it was weakened and maybe it was a lower grain. Maybe he did a reload. It's like, you think the kid's going to do a reload if he doesn't like guns and this is the only one. But so a lot of those aspects I disagree with. So basically anything the state says so far, I disagree with. So it, I know there's a couple things with her that again, she's reading the reports and saying, well, this is a report, but you know, I love Candace. She's very good at what she does. A lot of the information's good, but those are particular things I disagree with.
All right. Next question is, did you think it was strange that his bodyguards pushed him over and failed to assist to stop any bleeding?
No, not at all. Because in my theory, you have the wound, all right? Everything's destroyed from the inside. Now, if you are a combat medic and have seen this, or even if you haven't seen this, you're going to see, because I remember specifically one time shooting a deer right through the heart, did not bleed. I remember I had to convince my uncle, it's like, let's just walk 100 yards that way. Found the deer, no blood. Even in the exit wound, he said, I learned a valuable lesson because, but no blood because that one squirt, and of course, you know, you move him, you might get a couple extra squirts, but one, he's dead. As soon as that bullet hits, it goes right through that red nucleus, which is another thing. In my theory, that perfectly works because they're right through the red nucleus, or at least blast the living snot out of it down into his body. But if he's dead and his heart tissue's destroyed, you're not getting any pulse. There's nothing to stick your thumb in because he's not bleeding from an artery. An artery, any medic or combat medic, yeah, you stick your thumb or just pinch it. But if there's not that to do, then you can't do it. And therefore you don't do it. So, and with his bodyguards, you know, again, I don't get much into this, but you have to either think, all right, now sure, they were all contractors, but are a lot of these guys believed in what he did? All right. You'd have to say that either all incompetent, none of them knew what they were doing. And not a single one of them took a leadership position to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this right now. Stop the bleeding, blah, blah, blah. But in my theory, he's got that blood. All right. There's nowhere to bleed. They realized that, which means there's not a lot of blood on them. And they realize, oh my God, this is all internal. There's nothing we can do. And they drag them off. That makes perfect sense to me because if there's nothing to fix, you can't do anything. So that's why to me, it makes perfect sense what they did because it's either incompetence, they were all acting and just with everyone doing their thing, nobody noticed that they were acting or there was nothing to do. So therefore they didn't do anything. Makes perfect sense to me.
Chris is wondering whether they cemented over the tent area.
As far as I know, yes, they did. They had, and again, it's a crime scene, but in less than 48 hours, worst case, 72 hours. I mean, I think I've had hangovers that lasted 72 hours. So why would they do that? And then somebody said, apparently, like his Tyler's dad gave him the money or was the one working on it, which would be really kind of weird to me. But again, don't know that for sure. But yeah, they covered over that. That's why I say somebody needs to take a good metal detector, walk on, but my guess is you're not going to find a bullet because my guess is it didn't do a pass-through, which I do want to discuss that particular event before we go, because that is what I'm going to really need help with to try and start closing this case. But I don't think it was a pass-through.
Yeah, please discuss that now if you need help.
So essentially, I can't find this video anymore. And it had a really good, it showed like frame, and it showed it blow up and kind of go back like this. So what we need to establish first is whether or not it was a pass-through. Now, the video that I watched, I analyzed, and like an idiot, I didn't think to save because what's the internet, not realizing that when a million people talk about the same thing, it's then hard to find that one piece of footage. But I need that piece of footage because if I remember correctly, what I did was I established that first by looking at when that wound happened. So on whatever frame, like 313 with Kennedy, whatever frame we're going to call that, where you see you know, him going like this, and then the next frame it extends out. Okay, this frame where he gets hit, all right, regardless of whether it was a slower bullet or a faster bullet, all right, unless it was like the airsoft, which is where I think Range Day broke its his from behind theory and why he hit here instead of here, kind of trying to merge the two. Lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
What we're talking about was,
So you have to establish that the bullet went through first. So when the bullet hits here, pretty much it's already through. So either the camera's going to catch it. So you're going to have this and the wound is already there before the cavitation. But if you watch, and I'm almost positive of this, I'll bet money on this, if somebody can get that, you'll see this, and the cavitation forms because, it, just like a balloon, it blew up to the point where his neck couldn't handle it, and then once that escape happened, it started going back down, which means it's not a pass-through. Well, if it's not a pass-through, then the bullet stayed in him. So, and if the bullet stayed in him, then it's almost guaranteed to be a lighter round, and then we can start focusing on that. So I want to see if anybody's got that. Please send it to me. Look at it yourself. Also, when his shirt comes up, you will notice that it comes up like this. And when it comes back down, there's a dot of blood right there on his shirt. And you can tell that the wound was there. The dot comes down on his shirt. And then a drop of blood comes right onto that dot and like adds a comet tail to it. And then the rest of the stuff pours out. So it seems to me that it wasn't a pass-through, and it was the cavitation, the energy of a 4,000 foot per second, 22,250, blasted all that down into his empty chest. Because your lungs, if you poke a hole in, what was the Three Kings with Ice Cube, George Clooney, and Mark Wahlberg, where he gets shot in the chest, and they keep having to pull that plug to decompress his chest. So your lungs, because otherwise your lungs will shrivel up to basically nothing. This is all an empty cavity. You got your heart, your thymus, your lungs. That's it. So your diaphragm basically makes a pressure differential, right? So if you got all that energy blowing into negative space, it's going to blow into negative space and then expand past that. And that's where that injury comes from.
All right. So next question is, let's see. Why does his body go backwards when he's first hit? The energy seems to come from the front, then he goes upwards, then tips over to his left side. I'm still not convinced the shot came from the side.
Now, I just recently heard that you know, it goes backwards. But if he shot, now my guess is shot either directly parallel or it's a little from the front. And it would make a lot more sense a little from the front, because when it goes in, it would go here and then back towards his neck and do that damage. When he gets hit, you'll see him, he gets hit like this, and his hair goes down. So kind of going like this, yeah, you're going to go backwards, but I mean, it's minuscule from what I've seen, but you can clearly see it gets hit like this from all angles and then back up. In my video, in one of the sections, I put a purple line over both the frontal view and the one from the back here. I put a purple line and you can see his head, and I kind of go back and forth. So it kind of like how at least my camera is doing in smaller frames, you can see his head go down. And again, he'll bounce and go the way the direction the bullet's coming from. But since it's coming from an angle and everything blasts down, you know, it's almost like creating not a false equilibrium, but like if you jump and you realize you jump badly and you kind of stop yourself. So you fall, I guess, similar to that. But the amount of back, because if he got shot from the front, it would be this, right? And then cavitation and probably leaning back like that. But you'd have his entire neck blown out, you know? I mean, if you get shot with a high-powered rifle and you've got armor, enough armor to stop it, you know, you're going to go like this. But I don't see anything in his – because if you got shot in the neck, it would be a lot more forward movement, I think. And, of course, you'd have the big hole. But supposedly the bullet stopped, shattered all his vertebrae, but stopped right there and then went downwards. Again, everybody talked about what can't happen. Okay, great. And nobody's ever tested that to see if it can happen. But everything in my theory makes perfect sense. So if that answered the question.
All right, you're getting asked, what do you think about the narrative that Tyler was able to change outfits multiple times and assemble and disassemble?
Well, I have an old bolt action 22, and it's got one bolt right there on the forearm, and the barrel comes out of the stock. And actually, it's a little indented, so you can actually do it with a penny or a dime. So you don't even need to have any tools. So they make guns like that, make old guns like that. This gun's, like I said, made in the 30s, doesn't have a serial number. But it doesn't make any sense to me. Clothing changes, first off, why? Now, again, the kid's smart. Now, I know people, right? I'm in Mensa, right? I'm smart. But I got a 20 twice on my ACTs, twice. He got a 34 out of 36. This dude is smart. Now, smart people who are young haven't been around enough, you know, to, okay, I took care of the fingerprints. I took care of this. I wore gloves, you know. So some of the things he's doing, like he'd watch crime shows, and other things he's doing, like, you know, he's in junior high. So with all the clothes changes and doing that, it doesn't make any sense to me that he would do that. And then, you know, drop the gun off and then go back and pick it up later. What possible reason? I can't think of a possible reason he would do that unless somebody was like following him or something. And isn't that land owned like by BlackRock or some crazy, more craziness to this whole story? But no, I don't think that, because again, if you got a professional shooter, you go chew, you take, I mean, like I said, he could have lifted up a plant, like a fake plant that they got, like what, Breaking Bad, when Walter tries to bust into whatever the guy that's shipping his wife, you know, you plant, and then you put all the stuff in there and somebody goes and picks it up later. I mean, these guys are pros. That's what they do. That is their job. They've got the best and brightest stuff. Then, of course, with Candace, you know, talking about the Egyptian, you know, military airplanes. Okay, now that's starting to make a little bit more sense. But to me, this hands down was a professional hit. Now, it could have been a 223 standard military. But again, if you're going to do a professional hit, you're going to take what you know is going to work for that particular vocation. So you use something right in the side of the head, because what happened with Trump? He turned his head, right? You shoot at the side of the head, doesn't matter if you're going like this, this, or this, and he hit right in the center. That to me says, right, professional shot. And they did it in broad daylight with an audience. If they'd have just offed him, so to me, that's sending a message, whether it's Israel or Egypt or Antifa or the mob or whatever. It was a professional hit. This isn't something accidental, because if it wasn't other than a professional hit, we wouldn't have any questions. We wouldn't be having this discussion right now. It'd just be whatever, Daniel Penny. You know, okay, we know what happened, got away for the trial. So,
all right, I just want to do a quick viewer poll at this point. So, regardless of positioning, logistics, etc., viewers, put all that aside for one moment. Put a 1 in the chat if you think this was a professional hit. Put a 2 in the chat if you think it was Tyler, the lone gunman, did it alone. And let's see let's see what comes in on this. Yeah, looks like you got lots of ones coming in already. Yeah, you got nearly all ones coming in right now. Yeah. So I think all of us are in agreement on that part. Sweet. Of it. It's just then the logistics, isn't it? All right. So we've got a question here from Drop Burr JD. Ready though?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Because I had to switch to the computers. There's one piece of paper I got, and it's going to take me 5 seconds to grab it. I was trying to text somebody to say, hey, got this piece of paper for me just so I don't forget it before we exit. So, yeah, I'm sorry. How do we know he was
all right? I'll let me read the question so people can hear it.
All right.
How do we know he wasn't wearing a plate? I've heard people say he wasn't, but nobody has proved it to me. If the bullet hit the plate and tumbled, it would explain the entry wound looking like an exit.
I'll agree with that. I if that is the case, but normally, I mean, if it's, you know, depending on the thickness of the plate, because a 30-06 and a lot of guys, I honestly, 3/8 inch steel, it'll go right through. So it's not going to bounce off. But in theory, if you had it thick enough, the bouncing off of that and going into here, making that wound is theoretically correct. That's entirely possible. The only problem with that is that the amount of energy would have gone, basically blasted out the back of his neck, or at least gone, you know, maybe not, but that would be a really thick piece of metal. And he was wearing a t-shirt that, you know, if he had that real thin kind of, I know cops have it, it's the best, it's made out of like a Kevlar. But then that absorbs, the whole point is that all the layers absorb all that energy, and therefore it takes it away so it can't continue. So it wouldn't have deflected anywhere. But you're talking a piece of metal, a significant piece of metal. Now, again, maybe it was a lighter round that they actually shot him from there. But again, to have that bounce off, the chances of that actually happening are pretty slim without having other correlating factors like it going through and it having a massive, like you could definitely see where it would have impacted through his shirt. Plus it would have cut the shirt. Yes. Perfect. Thank you. All right. She got the dice.
All right. So what about the people who came forward in the audience saying they were the shooter? Do you think that was part of the script to distract from what had gone down?
Of course. I mean, think about it. It's a professional hit, which I think this was. You'd have, and there's been other people that have pointed out people with Tyler Robinson's same dress, having him running when he's supposed to be on the roof. And I always look at things like Dedra Muro in Andor. What would I do? If I was tasked with this job, whatever it is, bank robbery, professional hit, what would I do in order to make this happen so that I can get away? And yeah, have other people in the audience saying, hey, look at me, because just like a magician, you know, you watch Penn and Teller do their little styrofoam ball trick, but they use clear glasses, you can see what's happening. But if they use the red solo cups, you can't see anything. Next thing you know, he's got three red foam balls right here when he had none before. So the quickest way, and I know somebody that had this happen to, where they got pulled over and they had some illicit substances in the trunk. And he said, man, one of his buddies, the drunk, said, oh, he doesn't look in the glove box. So the cop starts looking in the glove box. He gets a call. He goes back to his car, grabs the guy's license, throws it at him, said, your lucky day, and takes off. But he started looking in the glove box because he said, oh, don't look in the glove box. Meanwhile, all the stuff was in the trunk. So it makes perfect sense to me that you'd have decoys, especially this dude who seems to be at everything, and like now he apparently starts child porn, so he can't talk. Wow, how convenient. I mean, I feel like the church lady, how convenient. Every single thing that they're trying to do or trying to hide, well, that's kind of convenient, isn't it? So,
all right. So, next question, did we see Charlie removed from the scene?
Well, there's enough video evidence of that, and you know, this has been going on since pretty much Elvis. You know, he faked his own death. I mean, I don't know why a guy who had, and the guy was 18 when he started this. I mean, when I was 18, I had no idea. I didn't do anything other than, you know, party and try to get laid like other 18-year-olds. This guy is starting a nonprofit that will go on to have hundreds of million dollars in donors. And he literally changed the outcome of the election. Because if you look at even the state of Wisconsin, right, if you look at what we lost by before, look at what we won by, it almost mirrors perfectly how many voters he was able to register. Because it's just like anything with young people. You know, if you don't give them something, you know, to challenge, that's actually how I switched sides. My dad kept saying, really, well, prove me wrong, I'll pay you $20. He never paid me. So, you know, he got it in these people's heads that, all right, what you're seeing, what you're being taught and all this stuff, you know, isn't the way it is. And a man with that mission, I just don't see why on God's green Dantooine that he would ever want to back out of that and say, you know what, I only get to see my wife and kids, you know, when the witness protection ships them over to some island for me. I don't see that at all.
Do you think Tyler will be unalived like we saw with the Kennedy assassination?
Depends. It depends on the case. Like I said, everything that they've presented so far, they're going down like Tracy Lord circa 1986, right? They're dead in the water. If this is what they're presenting, all right, as their case to say that this is what killed, and then once the forensics come out, but again, if this is an inside job, you can't pay scientists and doctors, but you can pay off politicians. Okay, keep thinking that, you know, but it doesn't make any sense to me that he would be on a lab at his young age. Worst case scenario, they probably say, we got the wrong guy. But if that is their only option now, and he starts talking and saying, you know, I didn't do this, and that starts going out, yeah, then there's a definite chance he could be. But if they can play this right, because if that happens, I'm sorry, every single person involved in this is going to be discredited to the nth degree. I mean, Cash Patel is probably going to get fired, and of course they're going to place him with somebody else. All this time is going to go by, no one's going to care, and then it'll be over with, just like the Epstein thing. It'll be like a meme, you know. Epstein didn't die. Tyler Robinson didn't kill himself.
Does defendants' lawyers have a chance to give jury reasonable doubt regarding bullet travel?
Absolutely. Upon the contingency that of what the autopsy says, now you're going to get experts, but just like the COVID experts, you know, real experts are worth their weight in gold. But even me, I think feasibly I've presented enough to a jury, all right, without knowing anything. Now, again, if we can, you know, test my theory and say, look, this theory came, and then from there, just like any other scientific test, you find out the results, and then you alter your hypothesis from there. We can actually probably get it to where we recreate the shot. And if you recreate the shot to within 90, 95%, that pretty much debunks their entire argument, which means they lose the case. So we'll really have to wait and see what the autopsy report says. My suspicion is that they're going to hold this off for a long, long time because they really don't know what to do. Because somebody screwed up big time. Whether it's they let the 30-06 out, now they got to roll with it. Whether it's that nephew from, you know, the boss or something. But to me, somebody screwed up big time. Like everything else in the case, but it's that one office space glitch that now instead of $20 in your account, you got $275,000. So
Pam and Cash closed Kirk's case. Why?
Because they don't have anything else to offer. Which a lot of, like I said, a lot of these variables will depend whether or not Tyler stays alive, whether or not he pleads guilty. That's also another factor. They could probably get him to plead guilty on something, you know, and just, okay, well, you'll be out in 20 years because you're never going to get any. And then if he pleads guilty, you know, he tells his side of the story. It doesn't even have to be true. The judge goes, okay, well, that's your side of the story. And that's it. All to avoid the death penalty, which, to me, I don't know, if I literally killed somebody, I'd be like, kill me. I'm not going to eat this crappy food. You know, you know, I'm not going to sit there and do this. If I know I did it. Okay. Just end it. I'd like try to speed, like, hey, call Texas, try to speed up my, you know, but a lot of people, they just try to avoid the death penalty. So that is an out that I could definitely see being played out. Then again, that one's something that, as far as I know, nobody's talking about.
Red, we're almost at the hour, my friend. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers?
Yeah, let's see. The footage, okay. If we're going to recreate this, all right, then I never went to law school because I'm good at arguing cases, but I suck at research. Plus, I haven't been in this field for years, so I really need help with this. The necklace length and the type of necklace in order to run the test, need to know that. I need somebody with a high-speed camera. A ballistic gel dummy, and again, nothing's monetized. I could maybe buy that myself. I'm going to a place in the next couple of weeks where I can test this. Footage of that the wound being made, as many frames as we can. Any footage that's of the right side where I think the shot might have come from, whether it's pictures or footage from that. Shadow band, serial number, okay, and I got that. Oh, if my estimation's correct, if it was a pastor, it would be at a 31 degree angle. Like I said, I held it up to the phone, so I think it's not a pass through. But I just say, watch the video. If you got any questions, if you got anything to add, when it comes to comments, all right, like trying to get a hold of people in comments. There's 6,000 comments. No one's going to read that. Save the comments for, at least on my channel, for the people who, you know, I've got something to add. If you're like, wow, mind blown, Charlie Kirk was a pig. Okay, do that on Twitter. Do that on Instagram. Do that on. So kind of save the YouTube comments for that. That's what I'll say about that. But watch the video. I think I make absolute sound arguments. Everything that they're questioning, I can explain with this theory. So now me or Range Day Bro has got to do a test with a 22-250 at 20 degrees. And if that does the cavitation, like I say, starts blowing out a little bit here and destroys the necklace with no bullet exit, I pretty much got this. And then from there, we can tell the state to go cram a cloud up their ass with a pitchfork.
All right. Well, I've just put Red's YouTube channel in the live chat. If you're watching on replay, it's in the description box. When I get off the air, Red is going to send me this email address, and I'll get that down there as well, and any other contact information. So a huge thank you for coming on, Bubba. It's been a pleasure.
It's good and to thank see you.
You too, and thank you, viewers, for all your questions. Have a great day or night, wherever you are in the world.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.